Thank you, Brother Steve. We're glad to be back with you all again here tonight. And I've just been happy to have heard Brother Rich or Brother Steve or one of these other preachers preach tonight. But we hope the Lord can help us a little while. And Brother Rich has already told us that it does take the Lord. And this is not something that we get proficient at. It's not something that we learn, and there are some things, Brother Rich, I've learned over a period of time that I've improved and done well at, but this is not that way, and it always takes the Lord. But we appreciate each one of you, and you all make me feel mighty small the way you all have been so good to us, like already two offerings this week, and didn't preach Wednesday night. We just came and took your money. Is all I did, but I appreciate it. Was in revival one time several years ago, and I couldn't say it anywhere, I'm sure, but I pulled for a week or something like that. I pulled pretty hard, and then it broke loose, and I think it was about seven or eight nights. I didn't preach another time. It just broke out every night. And they took up an offering for us during that week, and I told them, Shalom, I'll take your money. we knew them pretty well and knew that wouldn't make them upset at us, but we appreciate what God's people done for us over the years, and I tell you, you can't beat the Lord's people in any respect. You just can't do it, and I'm glad to know the people of God. I tell churches pretty often around the country, and you know, we go from some pretty strict to some pretty loose and all in between and all of that. But my feeling is they're my people. That's just the way I feel about it. And I love God's people. And I know that none of us are the judge. We can't do that. Boy, we'd be in a fix if we did, wouldn't we? But I'm glad the Lord's got it all into account. And my responsibility is just to love God's people. And I think I can do that pretty easy. It's been easy for me these years. Well, you pray for us. We, like others, really enjoyed the message this morning. Still enjoying the message Wednesday night. And I know a lot of you are still thinking about it. Brother Bruce mentioned this morning in his teaching, I thought he taught so well about I am. And aren't you glad he is? That he's not he was, but he is. And I'm glad for that. But we appreciate what we know about the Lord and knowing all of you. So you pray for us tonight. I want to read just a familiar passage of Scripture, and that's about all I ever have to read. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and starting in verse 3, and most of you could quote it, I know. But Paul was writing, and maybe before I read, just mention that just recently, maybe last week, I guess, it came to me how close the church world of today is in rivaling the church at Corinth in Paul's day. There was so many things going wrong in that church, so many things going on that I wondered about it years ago when I first began to read in the Bible. And it seems like that we're coming right along a very close parallel in a lot of ways. But in the midst of all of that, Paul wrote these words in chapter 10, starting in verse 3. And he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I know we have a formidable adversary, Satan, and as we get closer to the end of time, he will become more and more formidable, I'm sure. But God didn't leave us here to be devoured by that wicked one. But he understood that there are things that the devil does that brings deception to us, and we believe things we shouldn't believe. And he works on every one of us. And sometimes he gets a little place somewhere in our life that becomes a devil's stronghold against us. And I've been around this long enough and tried to pastor enough through the years that I have seen this in just about everybody. There's one area in their life that the devil comes back against repeatedly. Over the years, we have to just keep overcoming the same problem over and over. And it'll vary from one person to another, but there's something there that you battle almost continually. Just you get victory, and then here it is again, and you've got to get victory again. And it becomes a kind of a stronghold of the devil in our life to cause us to not be able to get a hold of what we need from God to be as strong as we should be. Yes. And you know that it's in our mind is where the devil works upon us. Yes. And of course in verse 5, these three things that he mentions here are going on in our minds. That's where we have the imaginations. And I know a lot of times when we face a trial of some kind, just how many of you is ever expecting the trial? We're not. And it seemed like it's a surprise every time. It's just like the devil blindsides us, and here we are. We're in a trial. And as soon as we realize that's where we are, the old devil goes to trying to monkey with our mind and getting us to think things, imagine things. And you can always imagine how things could turn out if this goes on. And the devils are working there. And then he also exalts himself against our knowledge of God. And times when it seems like that he is surely going to win in spite of God, that he's going to win and have the victory over us. And he is doing that more and more. He's coming to a place to where through that beast he's going to exalt himself to the point that he is God in this world and sit in the temple of God. And that's where we're heading, and he's heading there. We probably are not too far away from that right now. And so he exalts himself above our knowledge of God until we may feel like that God can't work here, that it's impossible for him to work this out. And so he's a messing with our mind. And he causes our thoughts to go astray, get away from the virtuous things of God, the praise of God, the things that will help us to be encouraged and get our minds on other things like that.
Yes, he does.
And so he works against us in such a manner. I want to come back to verse 6 maybe in a little while, but I don't know what night it was, whether it was night before last. Maybe it was. I woke up in the middle of the night, and these verses was on my mind. And the Lord seemed to go to talking to me there about them. And He made me to realize that all that I've talked about this far, these things that happen in verse 5, that the devil works on our minds, it causes two things that are devastating to the child of God. Those two things that come from these three things is doubt and fear. And that is something that we all probably struggle against at times. I mean, wouldn't we see many great healings if we could just believe? Glory. Wouldn't we do a lot of good things for God in this world that we need such good things if it wasn't for the fear? The fear and the doubt are two things that probably everybody have to overcome some way or another. And so I felt like talking to us about this for a little while. And I hope the Lord can help me with it. I'm glad for God's spirituality, aren't you? But I have to struggle with my humanity. We're born again, a new creature in Christ, but it takes something to stay there and not be disturbed by our humanity. And some people have a greater imagination about things than others. And some have a greater fear of the devil winning the battle than others. But I think we all struggle with these things ourselves. But I want to read to us a little bit in 1 Corinthians now, in the second chapter. And verse 12 said, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." I'm afraid that we in our humanity many times approach the trials and troubles of life from a carnal standpoint. We try to figure things out for ourselves to get through the trial, through the valley, get it behind us, come out to a good ending and go on. And just don't happen like that. I've told people before that I don't think that there's ever been a time that God worked for us and brought us through the trial or the temptation and did it the way I thought He should have done it. He has always done it His way. And I found out it was the best way. And I should have realized that all along. I felt like telling you tonight that I'm preaching to Bill Wakely. So if you don't mind listening while I preach to me, I want to try to preach a little while. Glory. He said here, the Holy Ghost does not fool around with carnal things. When the Holy Ghost teaches us,
He gives us comparisons, but they're spiritual to spiritual. He's never on the level of humanity. He's always above mankind. He's always in the spiritual realm, and he never discusses a problem with us in a fleshly manner. So Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And too many times I do. Too many times I try to figure it out. I used to have Dustin deceived when he was a little boy. His saying was, when he couldn't even talk plain, he'd say when something tore up, he'd say, Daddy fits it. Karen said, I was off in revival one time, and that was before they could go with me on account of chicken farm and school. And one day the electricity went out just on our leg of the electric line, I guess. And said, Dustin told his mama, said, Daddy fits it. I wish I could, things like that. But Daddy can't fix it. You can't fix it either. It's going to take something bigger than me and you to overcome the smallest trial and temptation that the devil brings against us. So Paul wanted us to understand that God's provided everything we need to overcome and be victorious in life. No matter how the devil wants to work on our minds, we can reach a spiritual place. Woo. Glory. I thought about David when he was just a young man. And he was out tending his father's flocks. And a bear came and stole a lamb. And David pursued after him. And I don't know, he said it to Saul one time as if he took both of them by the beard, the bear and the lion, and slew them and delivered the lamb. And then the lion came and did the same thing, and David went out after him. If David had been a thinking as a human being ought to be a thinking, he'd have never gone after them with no more than what he had. So David comes up on the scene one day when Goliath steps out and challenges God's army. And he hears this giant. And I've wondered what made Israel decide to let Goliath dictate the terms of engagement. Well, what if Goliath come out and said, send me a man. We're here to fight a battle, and there's an army there, and there's an army here. Why listen to one man? Why didn't they storm out of those hills down to the Philistines and just wipe them out? But you know as well as I do. That when Goliath, in our life, when he bellows out, suddenly the battle is on his terms. So they were cowered down. The whole army of Israel. And a young man comes up and says, what's going on here?
Yes, sir. Who is this guy?
So when he finally told him, I'll go out and fight this uncircumcised He said, when I fought against the bear and the lion, I didn't have your armor on. All I had was a sling. And I don't know how he slew him. He may have used a knife. I don't know what. He may have choked him to death. I don't know how he did it. But he told Saul, said, I'll go with what I know.
Oh, yeah.
David was not comparing spiritual against carnal. He was comparing spiritual things against spiritual things. And so he said, I'm going to go out against this great warrior. That, oh my, what a warrior he was. And covered with a battle garment around him that looked like could not be penetrated. David said, I'm a coming to you. The one that slew the lion and slew the bear would also slay this Philistine. It didn't matter how big he was and how mighty he was. And he threw that one stone. That's all he needed. And it got him in the right spot. How are you facing the giant when he comes to you? What are your imaginations? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings when the old devil comes against you? I've laid awake a many a night over troubles and trials and trying to figure out a way. And like I said a while ago, I never have figured one out. It did not happen the way that I thought it would. We're in a fleshly body. And we have the ability to think in fleshly terms. And if we're not careful, that's what we'll do when the devil comes around. I thought about Joshua and the people of Israel when they came to Jericho. Joshua had an army, a great army of men. And they came to a city that was walled up and impenetrable. But God said to Joshua, this is how I want you to fight the battle. Oh, wouldn't you like to hear that from heaven? When the old devil comes around where you are, that he would say, here is the way I want you to fight this battle. Yeah, yeah. You know how they went around. Unorthodox. Don't you know those people inside the walls was a saying, what kind of army is this? We've heard about them coming across the wilderness for 40 years and they fought other great peoples and won. And now then, what kind of an army is this? But they were not thinking of comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Oh, when the devil comes against you, start thinking about spiritual ways that God can work.
Yes, sir.
Woo! day they went seven times around. And then they stopped. And when they stopped, those priests blowed those horns and the people shouted with a great shout and the walls came right down in front of them. Oh, I want to tell you, it's the same God today that's a fighting my battle and yours. And our biggest hindrance is doubt and fear. Karen's, I hope I don't embarrass her by saying this, but she's had an affliction now for 3 months, I guess, or more. And it's not seemingly getting any better. And we prayed and prayed and had her prayed for, and she still has the affliction. And every time I go and pray, Brother Rich, I feel the Holy Ghost tell me, God said I'm going to fix it. But it's hard to get a hold of that and not doubt. It's hard to get a hold of that and not fear what could come from this. My. I'm a preaching to me. Glory to God in heaven. I read in the book of 1 John chapter 4. And he said in verse 17. Let me start there. Let me get 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And he said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. What weapon can we use? He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And one of those greatest strongholds we have is fear. And he said, perfect love casteth out fear. Fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Oh, that love. How great is that love? It's like God, for God is love. Whoa. I want to get another verse right quick here and then move on a little more, I think. Glory. And Paul wrote in Galatians. He said in 5 and 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That doubt that we have can be overcome in love, because faith works by love. The more we love the Lord, the greater our faith is. The more we love Him, the less fear we're going to have about anything. Bill, wait to hear what you're preaching about. The Lord is in God.
Yes.
Love is the key. Love is the answer.
Oh, yes.
Glory.
about charity. That is the perfect love.
That can only come from God.
That's right.
Mankind cannot of himself reach this charity.
Right.
It takes the Spirit of God to get us there.
All right.
But he said it was the bond of perfectness. And he said, charity believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Maybe there's another one in there. Glory. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity.
Yes.
The greatest of these is charity. The
greatest of these.
God, I want to tell you how we're going to make it from here to heaven, from where we are right now. We're going to have to get there through our great love of God.
All right.
It changes everything.
Yes, sir.
Changes everything. When we really love the Lord. Love is a great.
Oh, yes.
Probably the greatest that we have in our arsenal.
Oh, yes.
And it ain't the only one.
Never fails.
Oh, there's many ones that we have that are mighty through God. But when we have fear, it's overcome by love.
Yes.
And when we have that, it's overcome by love.
That's right.
In love, there is trust. Oh, that trust. Trust in the Lord with all. And lean not to your own understanding.
All right.
Even the Old Testament has told us how to win this battle. It is through that trust in Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Trust.
When Karen and I first got married, we weren't saved. She thought she was, but she just had her name on a roll book somewhere. And I knew I was a backslidden, holiest boy. And I knew where I was, that I wasn't saved. And I had happened to have married the most beautiful girl that was around. And I had a high temper. And I was a jealous man. And it caused problems at times. I was so jealous. But when I got saved, I found something from God.
Oh, yes.
That perfected the love I already had for my wife. Until I trusted her completely. I just used the form of illustration for the best friend tonight. She's told me before, said the reason you trust me because you don't care like you did. I said, no, no, no. It's because I learned to love you. Oh, can you hear what I'm saying tonight? How much do you really love the Lord?
How much do you love
him? How much is your love for him?
All right.
Burning day and night.
God bless you, brother. Come on.
My. If you think you run across fear and doubt up till now, we're not out of here yet. You know what it was that made those martyrs go to the stake and pray for those that were setting the fire to them and for them that sent them there? Who was it? One of the old men that died at the stake said they told him, if you'll recant, you won't burn. He said, where you're going to burn forever. Light the fire. Said it'll just be for a moment and it'll be over with. Would you like to have that kind of an attitude? Did you know we can?
We can.
Did you know we may have the opportunity, Brother Bruce, to exercise that kind of love one of these days? How about you today? How much do you really love Him? This love is strong as death. Death is mighty strong. Oh my. And love is strong as death. Bible says, we're in the midst of a great moment, an apostasy. Maybe you ever change churches, but in your spirit, so the God you're serving now is not. That's why apostasy. That's what Paul means.
Yes, sir.
And I want to remind us again. I don't know what we're going to be facing. But we're going to be facing if the devil can put it in our hearts. Fear. Now that.
Fear and doubt.
It's going to be a book among us more than that. It's going to go on.
Oh, yeah.
I've been telling our churches in many places that we're really close to having to make some very hard decisions. And these decisions are going to affect everything about our life when we have to make those decisions. Somewhere, we're going to have to turn this world loose and hold on to God. And you know we can't do that if that love is not. Jesus,
thank you, Lord,
says the only way out when we've left that first love is to leave.
The only way back. The only way back.
The Lord sent you to a church one time. We preach a message one night, one service. And he told me before I left to tell him that there's a lot of people that loves the way of holiness more than they love the Lord. And I've seen it. I believe I have seen it. I love this good old way, don't you? I do. I don't want nothing else. I love this. But what good is loving this way if we don't love the Lord above everything else? So we're going to have to love Him. The Lord's given us the greatest weapon we can use against Satan. It's love. You can't kill somebody or a woman away from their spouse if they're in love.
You're right.
We can't keep it away from Jesus. And I'm not here to judge, just to preach what I felt like the Lord gave me. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That's what the devil uses because that's his realm. That's really all he can use, carnal things. But we're wrestling against powers and principalities and against the rulers of darkness and this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. It's spiritual things that we're having to overcome. And we can't overcome them with a carnal mind. It's going to take spiritually speaking about it. I've told people before, may have told you, the Lord has worked for us and done miraculous things that I believe that the crossing of the Red Sea was not any greater than what he's done for us. I believe that. It was the same God. It was impossible, and then it was. It was possible. And nobody could do it but God. And he works like that for you and I. Wouldn't this all be a good way if we didn't have to have patience? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Most of my experience with God for over 36 years, I've been waiting on God. Almost a total of it, I've been waiting. It ain't been the same thing. But we have a need, and we're waiting. And the Lord feels that need, and we wait for something else. And it's been that way all through the years. And I've told people, and maybe some don't realize and understand, may have told y'all, my little family fell into a trial that lasted 20 years. And I can truthfully say that my faith has been stronger since then. My patience with God has been.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we've got to learn. Baby started out with a barren line, but he went on with bigger things. He went out against the giant and won the victory that day for the whole nation of Israel. Yeah. Oh, my, I wonder what God wants some of these boys around here to get on the way to go through some trials along life's journey. And that's why they come through them, they learn something. They stand on that and it brings them closer to the Lord. They love him more and they're not merely afraid. And they don't doubt so much.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
I thought about Peter. The Lord won't throw us away. Just because we do bow and feel the time. He might reprimand us. Peter saw him, Jesus standing on the water one night. And he said, Lord, that you give me a money on the water. All Jesus had to do was to find out. Same voice that spoke to the very life.
Gloria.
And there was life.
Yeah.
Things were created. Same one. He said, come. He didn't say, now be careful when you step down that chair. He didn't say, stand there and hold on for what he needs to do. He just said, come. And so old Peter, he just got out of the ship and here he went along. You and I have done some things too. And then we got our eyes on some of the trouble. Like you did. And we did the same.
Yeah. Here.
And we got what we put in the
water. Oh, yeah.
Better than one here. Better than my wife. She walks in. He's here for you. All of my little disagree with you, you never did. You son. You didn't begin to.
Yes.
And you and I have got to be love also. And if we can love the Lord, I believe we can.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I believe Brother Rich wanted me to make an invitation a while ago. He said so, didn't he?
Could we do that? Somebody wants to come to the piano and sing or play or whatever. We'd like to give you an invitation to come tonight around these altars and pray. I don't know people's hearts. I don't know the needs, but I know that we need help from God. And so I hope that we can just dig in a little deeper, get a hold of more of His Spirit, and less of this old world down here. This world blinds us, and we can't get a hold of what we need from God. I've been there, I know. But I also know that you can turn it loose, and you can get a hold of God. And we're going to have to do it. The Lord wanted me to tell us these things tonight. I believe He did. And He knows your fear. He knows your doubt. He knows all about it. But He's wanting you to use that great spiritual weapon and overcome Satan and take him down in destruction. I didn't get back to verse 6, I believe it was, but and having inner readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Heaven is standing ready tonight to bring you out of your trial as soon as your obedience is fulfilled. That's what He's awaiting on. Many times that's what He's waiting for. And when we can be obedient in our faith and in our love to Him, He's ready to revenge all disobedience. The Lord's done some things for us that He had to use other people. And these were men sometimes of great wealth, great standing. And God has used them. And I can't say what all He's done to bring us out. There wasn't money involved. I ain't talking about that. It wasn't influence from anybody. But I can tell you He caused some things to happen to some mighty people so that we could rise again. Whew. I'm about to get happy about this. I wonder what the Lord would do to revenge your disobedience. If you could just love Him enough tonight to say, Lord, Thy will be done, and let Him work it out. Heaven is standing ready. God's on His throne. Jesus at His right hand. Holy Ghost is a moving from here to there. Angels all around. Whew. But I thought I'd finish. Lord.
The men came into Elisha one day. He'd seen the Syrian army over there. The last master had said,
what shall we do?
Oh,
old Elisha just began to pray. He didn't even get up and look out the window. He knew where he was with God. Said, open his eyes. Let him see what he can see from heaven. And chariots and horses of fire all around.
around. And Elisha said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. You know heaven's still like that tonight. The old devil's got his spirits, his demons, his imps, his deceptions. But it just takes one finger of God to cast the devil out. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Didn't take him long and he was gone in a twinkling of an eye. And I wonder how long it'd take God to work for us tonight. Do you love Him tonight? Do you really love Him? How far does that love reach in directing your life? Let's come tonight, if you will. Let's pray. May the Lord bless you.